Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, February 26, 2015, and we have a topic today that we haven't talked about before on the show, which is toxic chemicals and how they affect autistic children, or maybe cause autism, or anyway, there's a connection between these two. And this is something that I've been hearing about for many years, but I haven't really done the research about connecting them and have all the data to be able to talk to you about it or write about it. But today, my guest she's the co-founder and vice president of public relations for an organization called Thinking Moms Revolution. And this is a group of people who got together because their children were autistic and they wanted to figure out what was causing it and what they could do to improve their children. And so she's going to talk to us today about her experience helping her son improve from being autistic by, among other things, removing toxic chemicals from his life. Her name is Kim Spencer. Hi, Kim.
Deborah, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. So let's just start with your story. What happened? How did you find out that your son was autistic and tell us about the beginning of Thinking Moms Revolution?
Well, my son is now 14. Fully included in eighth grade class. So let's say when he was born, first child, first grandchild, he had a pretty normal toddlerhood, but there were some things that just increasingly got concerning. Not concerning enough because we just didn't know what we were seeing until he was about 2.5. He was not putting words together. And had a lot of tantrums and some diarrhea-filled diapers 14 times a day. Just some odd things that just were not right, although no one really pointed it out to me until we saw a friend at the pool, and she saw one of his tantrums where he could wiggle himself out of my arms and basically send me to the chiropractor in no time at 2 years old. And she said at 2 years old, a child should put 2 words together, and at 3, they should put 3 words together. She had been a speech therapist in a former life before she was a mommy. At that point, I thought, she said that's just, you know, a basic rule. At this point, I now know my 18-month-old daughter spoke in paragraphs. So that was a very, very, conservative way to look for children with issues. And so I went by my pediatrician's suggestion to a professional speech therapist, one that was working, and within 15 minutes she said that my son had PDD, which is pervasive developmental disorder. It didn't take me long before I got the computer, because I had no idea what she was talking about, to look that up and realize that it's just another name for autism. At that point, that was just terrifying to me. All I knew was the movie Rain Man. That was all I knew. And over time, just started delving into what was out there on the computer to see what people were doing about this and what was going on here and what this was all about. So,
let me interrupt you for a minute. So, could you just explain to us what exactly autism is? Because I think that a lot of people have heard the word but don't really know what it is physically.
Yeah, so, well, technically, and what the mainstream medical world would say is that it's a checklist of behaviors. And if you have a certain number, say 6 out of 12 of these behaviors, you can qualify for a diagnosis of autism. So it would be communication issues, speech issues, those kinds of things, behavioral, not connecting with the world. Over my years of experience with my own son and my friend's son, it's really more of a medical diagnosis from what we are finding and what is helping our children. Behavioral therapists and therapies can go so far, but when medical issues are addressed, our children get miles and miles better. So For example, my son improved incredibly on just taking away certain foods, wheat and dairy, out of his diet. He looked at me like he'd never seen me before in about 3 days off of those foods. Wow. Later on in his life, we discovered that pathogens were really an issue. So where his immune system was really just a mess, his body wasn't handling pathogens like the typical child would. So, for example, he would have these incredibly high numbers for strep in his blood, but not have a sore throat or a fever or a rash on his torso, but would start biting himself and be aggressive and resistant. And that was a sign that he had strep. Many other children have displayed issues with yeast and with parasites. Bacteria and viruses that lay latent in the body and cause a lot of trouble. So what we found is that a medical approach to what they call today's autism is oftentimes a whole lot more successful than a psychological approach.
Yes, I would agree. Not having any experience with it, I would still agree. So what happened with, so you got this organization started, Thinking Moms Revolution. How did that start and how did you get involved with that? And tell us about the history of that, what you've done and when it started.
Well, you know, in the beginning of this, I found the underground of mommies and parents fighting this issue, because we get very little help from mainstream. And politically, we would connect, through Yahoo groups. And as technology advanced, we eventually found Facebook. And it was really easy just to find these other mothers that were networking with each other, sharing stories of what was working for their kids, sharing stories of what kind of testing and doctors there are out there that actually really truly know how to help, and comparing notes on therapies and just all kinds of things and how to feed your kids when you know you can't give them wheat and dairy and oxalates anymore. So eventually, through a couple of years of just networking on Facebook, a bunch of moms that I knew were all starting with a new practitioner, and we all decided to make a little group to compare notes about him and got to be really good friends. And we started just, really being just as much of a social group and a group of sisters than we were mommies to these autistic kids. It was just an extra added layer of amazing, friendship. So we all actually met in real life, a lot of us, not everyone, but a lot of us met in real life at an autism conference called Autism One that's held every year in Chicago. We all got ourselves there, and while we were sitting around one night, one of our more industrious mommies decided that we should all write a chapter and put our stories in a book. And so we decided on a deadline, and everybody that had their chapter in at a certain date, they were in, and everybody else, for privacy reasons or time reasons or just, taking care of their children reasons, bowed out. And 24 of us kind of fell out and shook out from this whole situation. So we put our stories together in a book, and Skyhorse Publications Publishing published our book last year. Mm-hmm. And since then, we just, immediately discovered, pretty quickly, overnight, that a blog and a Facebook page and a nonprofit and all these things that we've done since then, we're going to really be help us get the message out that there's help and healing and hope for our kids. Even if your pediatrician or your speech therapist don't know where that is, we can help you find that. So it's just gone from there. Our book is going to come out in paperback pretty soon, and we're planning a couple of other books. We're raising money for grants for families to use doctors that they might not otherwise be able to afford. And buy things that they need for their kids that are very expensive, like the monthly supplements or food or whatever it is they need. And going from there. Yeah. It's a whirlwind.
That's really wonderful. I totally understand. I totally understand. And I'm very happy that you're doing this, because it's a difficult thing and it's strange. And if you don't know what's happening, it's so nice to have other people around that do know what's happening and can be there to help. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back and talk more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today my guest is Kim Spencer. She's the co-founder and vice president of public relations for the Thinking Moms Revolution, and that's thinkingmomsrevolution.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Tim Spencer, co-founder and vice president of public relations at the Thinking Moms Revolution. Their website is thinkingmomsrevolution.com. So, Kim, you've indicated already that there's a number of different environmental factors that can contribute to children being autistic. On this show, we're particularly interested in the toxic chemicals aspect. So can you fill us in on about that?
Absolutely. So there's so much at play here. We could just talk for hours, Deborah. The amount of scientific information that we found, you know, over the years of researching this, for me, the last 10 years, has just been astounding about how genes and environment are combining to really make a mess of America's children. We really like to throw it out there in the Thinking Moms Revolution to just make everybody stop in their tracks and think about this, that 54% of American children have a chronic illness. And why is that? So, you know, some people like to claim that we're looking, you know, and pay for the studies that we're looking for genes, and genes have to be at play here. There's got to be something that can be found that will just stop and change the world in that department. But the argument against that is that, you know, I mean, there's no such thing as a genetic epidemic. And what we're dealing with here is this 54% of American children with chronic illness and 1 in 68, which is a low estimate for children with autism, 1 in 39 boys, estimated to even increase to 1 in 2 by 2025 if we continue on this trajectory. So if we can say, okay, no way, could this just be a purely genetic issue, then, of course, the environmental trigger has to be there somewhere. But you look around and you think, oh my gosh, well, what have we done? I mean, I remember, you know, in the early years of trying to get my son better, and I looked, I swear I could just sit down and just write pages and pages and pages of things that could be concerning to his health and that could be contributing to making his quote unquote autism worse. So everything from toxic baby bottles to disposable diapers, to the chemicals in baby mattresses, to, you know, what was in his formula. Thank you very much, but aluminum, you know. Because I breastfed for eight months, but, you know, when I switched over, and there it was, you know. What was in my body, in my breast milk? Well, Moms Across America, another group, has discovered that tons of Roundup is in our breast milk. So then you start talking about the food and the GMOs and the pesticides and glyphosate, Roundup, and how that could be affecting our children. And then on top of that, going back to the genetic thing, we're discovering that a lot of our kids and mommies and daddies too have one genetic mutation. It's the MTHFR gene that prohibits you from being a good detoxer. So all these things are coming in from you, building materials, emissions from cars, whatever, let's just, you know, but your laundry detergent, your fabric softener, the fabric, you know, the fire retardant in our baby's clothes, and just all over the place. So how, when all these things go in, and then we'll add vaccines into that, when all these things go in, how do they get out in a kid that's not detoxing very well? So, you know, I mean, it's just, it becomes a very overwhelming situation to just say, you know, well, how do I get my kid to detox better? How do I get the stuff out of them? How do I protect them from all this stuff in my home without completely going broke and living in a bubble? What do? You know, I did work for my pediatrician for about 3 years, and I did a lot of intake on these. I was the autism advocate, and so I did a lot of intake on these families with children with these kinds of issues, and I saw a lot of autoimmune disease and bipolar, actually, in family histories, and so, you know, that's a part of it too, just that in the family, you know, here it comes with the genes again, but you know, your family is chronic non-detoxers. How does this play out in the body? You know, does it show up as autism? Does it show up as lupus? Does it show up as bipolar disorder?
Let me ask you about something for a second. Hold on. Okay. So you're talking about, the children and the families not being good detoxers. Can you give us more information about that, about bodies not detoxing well?
Interesting. After 10 years, I finally started barking at this tree of these genes. And there's a company called 23andMe. You send in a little, as 23andMe.com, 23andMe.com, send in a little saliva, and they send you back with a whole bunch of raw data. The FDA has not does not allow them anymore to interpret the results you get, but there are some websites out there that will interpret for you. And what's showing up in so many of our families is this non-detoxing gene, and again, it's MCHFR, and it just is this thing that's just sticking out there that's just saying, okay, you know, if you have a problem with this gene as mutated, then you are not going to detox as well as the next person. So for example, I'll use my family as an example. When I worked at the doctor's office, it just became quite clear that there were so many stories of families like mine. So my mother has lupus. Her father had mysterious disorder, lots of eczema, had a glass eye, became an alcoholic, was in pain a lot. Now we look back on it, and it makes sense that he probably had lupus too. My husband's mother developed epilepsy at age 30, and over the years from the drugs that she's taken from that has also developed lupus. My husband's father, his parents would take him to the beach when he was a kid in Florida from Illinois just to put him in the salt water for the eczema all over his body. And my husband and I, you know, weirdly enough, are the healthiest people in our whole entire family. So we just didn't really expect anything. We just didn't expect to have a child with any of these issues. It didn't even cross our minds, you know. So my sister has asthma and eczema and was in the hospital for a week after the MMR. You know, these kinds of things just pop up all over our family. And this was a common theme that I saw at the doctor's office. So, you know, if we looked into everybody's genetic history, we could probably find this issue with this one gene having mutated with them too. But as we were saying, how does that play out in each individual's body? You know, and TMR, the Thinking Moms on our blog, we've kind of started a blog series about this called Red Flags. You know, what are some things that you need to look at in a family history or in a baby before you keep going on with vaccinating and using your typical everyday products from the grocery store for cleaning and et cetera.
So we need to go to break, but very interesting. Very interesting. We're going to go to break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Kim Spencer from Thinking Moms Revolution, and that's thinkingmomsrevolution.com. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Kim Spencer from Thinking Moms Revolution, the Thinking Moms Revolution. And the website is thinkingmomsrevolution.com. And they have so much information on their website. They've got a great blog, and they put on conferences too, online conferences. And the way I found out about them is they contacted me to come speak at their upcoming conference. Kim, do you want to tell us about that? I don't think it's on the website yet.
Absolutely. We're announcing any minute now, so everybody can just keep an eye on our blog. We, in the last year, have started doing these online conferences. As much as we love to go to awesome conferences and see each other, it is a real huge strain on families with special needs children. And financially and to find care for your kids, I mean, it's plane tickets, it's just way too much. So we decided, well, with the wonder of the internet, why not put them online? And so we have one coming up. It's called Your Life Detoxified, and it is going to be really exciting. We're so excited. We're going to have a lot of people from different strains of profession. So talking about how to detoxify your home, how to detoxify your body, and what different methods there are out there and different things you can try and learn about. When we go live with the link to register, we'll have all our speakers on there at this point. We're still juggling that all around. But just so everybody knows, this is March 27th. It'll go on all day. You can watch it live, and we give lots of things away and have lots of drawings and have all kind of fun stuff like that if you watch it live. But also, if you sign up, $40, you can watch at any time over the next year on your own time. You can just download it and watch it at your leisure. So that also helps instead of having to be tied to a computer all one day, you can watch it when you can. So we also have, at this point, conferences on food where we talk to Stephanie Seneff, for example, the MIT researcher who is doing so much about autism and Roundup and glyphosate. We've done energy medicine conference. We've done a homeopathy conference. So we're just getting the ball rolling, getting really like a good amount of experience under our belt and how to pull this off, you know, without a hitch.
Yeah.
And, it's been really exciting. Yeah. We've been really excited with the turnout and with how everything's gone and how easy it is to present all this information to families, from their, comfort of their home. So yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, and I'll have that information on my website as well, and it'll especially be on the page for this show at ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. So
great.
Let's talk about what you've done. What are your successful actions that you've done and how they've helped your son and some other stories about children being helped, too, by making these changes?
With the diet changes or just health in general?
Well, diet changes, but also particularly, what are some things that you, with detoxing, things you've removed from your home, what kind of detox methods have you used on his body, things like that? How have you changed?
Absolutely, yeah. The cleaning up the diet is monstrously huge, even bigger than I realized in the beginning when I took wheat and dairy out of Patrick's diet. I wasn't even getting the whole big picture that just everything needed to be really clean and pristine and, you know, as local and fresh and organic and, you know, as awesome as I could possibly make it. It's such a big job, just the food aspects of this. But, and there's so many different diets and so many different categories of foods that can cause, behaviors in autistic children. Not just taking away wheat and dairy, but then you talk about the sugar, and you talk about the oxalates, and you talk about salicylates, and you talk about, you know, so many different categories of foods that can be a problem. So those are all, you know, that's just all one big, you know, thing on its own. And then, you know, on top of that, you're trying to feed the rest of your family and feed yourself, and it isn't easy. But it's easier than it was 10 years ago to go to a grocery store and find the ingredients you need for stuff like this. Tell me,
I'm on a pretty similar diet, but for different reasons. And, you know, over the years, I've been looking at diet for a long time, and I keep eliminating things and eliminating things. So basically, what does your son eat? What are some of the foods that he eats? What is he eating today?
Oh, the foods he can eat. Okay, so back in the day, we were milling our own flour from the organic rye. Tapioca, beans. We would mill the flour and then make our own waffles and hide stuff in it like, you know, green powders or mashed up fruits and that kind of thing so mm-hmm. that he couldn't see anything in there. We do eat meat, but we keep it local and grass-fed and, you know, all of that. Even wary of chicken that says vegetarian, any meat that says vegetarian, that's so misleading. Of course, that means they're eating corn, which could be GMO and could be mm-hmm. crap. So watching out for that, watching out, you know, for the seafood. We live on the coast, so, you know, making sure that we know the source in the area. We also participate in a local farm bag program where they drop off local and organic stuff every week and then farmers market, getting to know your owners of the health food store, you know, just, really networking within the community to find these people who are really trying to get at what you're getting at. And oftentimes for different reasons, like you're saying, I mean, I'm sure, you know, diet is important, has been important for my health too, because of inflammation and, different kinds of stress issues and, pain. Like, you know, if I eat wheat, I feel a pain in my wrist. It happens mm-hmm. immediately. That's the craziest thing, you know. So we all need to be paying attention to this stuff. But on top of the food, Patrick was also mercury poisoned. Three of his vaccines had 25 micrograms of mercury in it. So when we did heavy metal tests on him, we discovered that the mercury level was really high. So we detoxed him through IV chelation, through his pediatrician. Also, at the same time we were treating him for mercury poisoning, we were also spending many hours in the hyperbaric chamber, oxygen flooding the body, which in our scientific looking it up and everything, the idea behind it would be pull out the metal and then flood the body with oxygen to clean up the mess that was left behind. Even if the metals are gone, there's still a lot of dysfunction in the body. Right. As time went on, we realized, like we talked about before, that Patrick had a huge problem with strep. So again, his immune system and his environment were, you know, preventing him from handling pathogens as it should. So we started working on the PANDAS, is what it's called, pediatric autoimmune neurodegenerative autoimmune strep. PANDAS is what it's the acronym.
And we need to go to break, but you can continue when we get back.
Okay.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Tim Spencer from the Thinking Moms Revolution. They're at thinkingmomsrevolution.com, and there's lots of information there at the website about things, natural things that you can do to help your child if they're autistic. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Kim Spencer from the Thinking Moms Revolution. thinkingmomsrevolution.com. So, Kim, right before the break, you were talking about PANDAS. Tell us more about what that is.
Kid has an immune system issue, and a pathogen is in the body. They pick it up at school. They got it in vaccines. They got it from whoever, a recently vaccinated person. And it goes into the body, and what we're finding is that their body's just not going to handle it like another person. So as we were talking about before with the strep with my son, we've had this problem with Clostridia before. Other people have this issue with any kind of virus, parasites, yeast, whatever, and pathogens are just wreaking havoc. And you don't really know they're there, and antibiotics aren't really killing them, but just chasing them back into the body. And so what happened with my son was just this reoccurrence of these incredibly high strep titers in his blood. And we'd chase it back with antibiotics, and then it would come back. And when it would come back, my sweet child would turn into an arm-biting, frame-breaking, hole-in-the-wall maniac who would not sit down and do anything he was asked to do, including homework or get dressed or anything. It was just an amazing night and day Jekyll and Hyde situation. And we finally addressed it with homeopathy, and we haven't had a flare in about 5 years, which has been great. But we saw it so much at the pediatrician's office that I was working at. This started happening with my son, and we started hearing more and more stories of these kids with autism coming in all of a sudden, you know, with the sudden onset of really, really extreme aggressive and resistant behaviors. And we just started saying, okay, well, let's just test them all for strep. And there it was. You know, the normal range should be within, you know, 1 to 200. And these kids would have these numbers of 700, 800, 900 of strep titers in their blood. So, at that point, I was working for a pediatrician. We were addressing it with antibiotics, but it was amazing how fast the symptoms would subside when the strep was chased back into the body. But it takes a lot of work and a lot of attention to the immune system, and a lot of different things can be tried to try to resolve this issue for good. But it's definitely an autoimmune reaction to a pathogen. Some doctors now are calling it PANS, and they PANS, Pediatric Autoimmune Neurodegenerative Syndrome. They've taken out the word strep because other pathogens really could be doing this just as easily as strep, even if strep seems to be the most common at this point. So it's an interesting little side angle again to what's going on with our kids. You know, you're looking at your food, and you're looking at your household toxins, and you're looking at these pathogens that could be an issue. You're talking about your, you know, lack of a detox ability from your genetic history. You know, I mean, it just goes on and on of the things that, you know, that we can talk about when it comes to what's going on with our kids' health today. And I feel like I've been talking really fast and throwing a lot of information out there really fast and being way too overwhelming for anyone who's new to hearing this. So I apologize. But there's just so much to it, you know. I mean, I've just seen
there is so much to it.
So many kids, yeah, in different ways, you know. I mean, there's just no one. I wish there was one protocol. I wish there was one, you know, doctor that was getting it right 100% of the time. I wish, you know, essential oils would just fix it all, but it's just not happening that way, you know. So,
well, we live in a world where there are so many exposures, and one of the reasons why, like, I've been doing this, writing about and researching about toxic chemicals for more than 30 years, and I started because I got sick, and it's what I really found was that it all comes down to the toxic chemical exposures that we have, and that even though that there are then other things that trigger symptoms, that if we were to just rip out the toxic chemicals out of society and so we were not exposed to them any longer, a whole bunch of health problems would go away. Just everything. When I wrote my last book, I researched everything anew, and there's so much more information now than there has ever been. And you can right. now associate every single health problem with exposure to toxic chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, yep. I know it's a bold statement, but, it's true. It's just true. And you really can't treat any illness or gain health without addressing the toxic chemicals. You just can't. And I wish that everybody would know this. And I really applaud your organization for making it known in the realm of autism. So we have about 5 minutes left. So now that you've given us a whole lot of information really fast, why don't you say something really slow for our listeners, what you'd like them to take away from all of this that you've said. I've just been scribbling notes here, and I do make transcripts. So next week we're going to have a transcript, and people who are interested can read about this more slowly. But what would you like them to know about toxic chemicals and autism?
Well, you know, you made an excellent point when you were talking about your own personal history. And as I've gone through this in the autism community, I do have to say that it's been people like you that knew that they were sick and started looking for answers for themselves and really started seeing that, you know, it is in the environment, it is in the grocery store, and it is at the fast food places, and it is, you know, there's something you can do about it, but it's really, really a lot of work and a lot of searching and digging for yourself. But you guys are the ones that don't have a dog in the fight, as we like to say, that don't have the kids and have discovered this for yourself, that it's the same across the board as for your health, that it is for my son.
Yes.
That you guys are becoming our best and most amazing allies because, first of all, you know, you have a platform. Second of all, you've seen it in your own body. You've experienced it with your own health. You know, what we're doing with our kids is what you've done for yourself. And you don't have a dog in the fight that's keeping you from 24/7 being able to spread the message and say, you know, I know how this feels. I know what these people are going through. So, we, you know, for us in the autism community, the autism mommy and parent community, it's really amazing that people like you are joining us saying, uh-oh, you know, we've been screaming this for years, but, I mean, this is like the worst case scenario of what we're talking about here. Just if it, I was that toxic and I brought myself back, but I wasn't, didn't have autism, you know, I didn't connecting to the world, you know, I mean, that might hurt and I, you know, couldn't figure it out and all that kind of stuff, but our kids, this generation, is what's really showing us that you were right and it's only gotten worse and we need to buckle down and really, really start paying attention to this because it's only getting worse, but it's really sad right now.
I totally agree with you. You know, when I was a child, which was a long time ago, but when I was a child, nobody ever even said the word autism and we didn't have, you know, all these commercials on televisions about kids with cancer. And, you know, it's just the amount of the condition of our physical health has gone down dramatically in my lifetime. And we as individuals need to do more than ever to make ourselves well. And it's all things like you can't, take a drug for this. You can't take a pill for it. It does nothing, because if toxic chemicals are poisoning you on a continuous basis, 24 hours a day, and you don't do something about it, they'll just continue to poison you.
the drugs are the toxins themselves. Exactly.
Yes. So it's so important to be talking about these things, and I really see the thing that's interesting to me is that it doesn't matter what the illness is, that the causes are the same across the boards, and the solutions
Absolutely.
Are the
I agree
same.
With you 100%. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times we don't even need, like, I'll have friends that call me or acquaintances that approach us at Thank You Moms and say, I need a diagnosis, or where should I take my child? I think he has autism. I need this on a piece of paper. And I just say to myself, really, why? Why do you need it? You know what's going on with your child. You see it with your eyes every day. Why do you need a label when you know what you need to do? You need to go home and really look at what you're feeding, what you're buying, what you're putting in that kid's body, and find doctors that know what to do, regardless of the title, if it's, you know, ADD or autism or this oppositional defiance disorder, new diagnosis. It doesn't matter. Your kid's toxic, you know, and you can do something about it without a psychologist writing on a piece of paper what the name of it is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, we only just have about a minute left. Let's give your website again, thinkingmomsrevolution.com. And do you want to just say something about what people can find there?
Absolutely. So we can find our book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. We will be hosting a lounge at Autism One in Chicago over Memorial Day weekend. We are also around the country hosting showings of Trace Amounts, which is a documentary about mercury in medicine. We are putting out a survival guide pretty soon and a grandparent's book of grandparent stories. And we'd love to have everyone join us on our detoxifying conference on March 27th. The details of that will be up on our website at thinkingmomsrevolution.com very soon. And we have a lot of fun on Facebook, although we're thinking about migrating over to a new, more private platform called MeWe. So look for us in all those places. We're everywhere. We want to be everywhere, and we want to help.
Great. Thank you so much, Kim. Again, it's thinkingmomsrevolution.com. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.